Who never do for do? Yeah, wings with friends. I have wings with friends. You got to get the wings to be with the friends. Boom,
boom. This is the first podcast that, like, I've done today. So
this is two out of three for me. So, but you're on the news.
I'm your sloppy thirds for the day.
Sloppy seconds. I moved you to second. You could have been. You could have been third, but I figured, you know, I'll raw dog someone else after this.
I appreciate it. I was on the news today.
I know you were talking about it. I didn't see it's all I saw was a social media post, National Humor Week. So what did you explain what humor is, or what did you do?
Yes, I laid it all out.
Thank you.
They invited LA Comedy Club, and LA Comedy Club invited a handful of their comedians to
me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Me though.
Good.
Right.
Congrats.
Because it's National Humor Month, so they just wanted to promote. Like, actually, they mentioned a handful of comedy clubs in Vegas, and that was it. I got to say like one thing.
That's good. You were on.
But yeah, and I had this great idea. I wanted this shirt that said like I Heart LV.
Mm-hmm.
I did a photo shoot yesterday. I was like, this is the look I want for this photo shoot. And then I was like, this will be great for the news. And it looks. I think it looks pretty good. I was pretty happy with it.
Is that the end of it, or?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a twist to that, like, but guess what? You know, wardrobe malfunction or like something.
No, I'm just really proud with how it came out.
Oh,
like,
good.
There's something about being intentional and then it working out the way you want to versus, oh, let me just fly by the seat of my pants. And then like, oh, I wish I would have wore something cooler.
Yeah, speaking of which, I realized when I said I was going to raw dog a third podcast, it's my podcast. I'm going to raw dog myself this afternoon. So
that's just
so whatever.
Hi everybody, welcome to Wings with Friends. I'm your host Mary Upchurch, and I'm joined here. This is a really special episode, I gotta tell you.
The most special.
It's going to be really special. Yeah. I'm here with actor, filmmaker, screenwriter, food writer, and comedian Jason Harris.
Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering if you were gonna get comedian in there, or you're like, no, not this guy. So
ugh, you wear so many hats.
Yeah, my my mantra is basically, if it has fun, if I can have fun doing it and not make good money, sure, let's go, let's do it.
I don't want to make any money.
Yeah,
I want to have fun.
I do have fun. You assume or think that eventually the money will come. It's come sometimes, and then a lot of times it doesn't come. So
that's why I have a day job.
But what's your day job?
Well, we're not here to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
I don't, I'm a trainer, not a fitness kind like the other kinds.
You
like
train. I teach classes. That could be many different types of trainings, though.
Yeah, I teach adults. I teach financial professionals, and then I teach a variety of topics under that umbrella. Yeah.
Sounds like you're doing big things that I'm not doing.
Well, I think you're doing really big things that I'm not doing, so I want to hear about that.
Well, we're friends, so we support, like, I support all your big things, just
that's
so
really
you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. You think we're friends?
Well, I mean, the show's called Wings with Friends, so, you know, that's your own fault. I assumed, like, you've kind of grandfathered me into this friend situation here.
What
so.
I have found in my many years of doing this podcast is that you have wings with friends, with people you care about, and like, if you don't know people, but by the time you're done with this, you're like, well, we're friends, you know. Or it's wings bring people together, and that's the whole thing of this podcast.
I mean, we don't know each other that well, but I got you a new follow. I'm hooking you up with dope food. You're booked on my show, which is going to be more dope food and pay, so like, I feel like I'm holding up my end of this friendship. You know,
I apologize. You are. That is really nice. I was kind of surprised as you took over my podcast and planned it for me. And I was like, okay.
Let me explain. Okay. So it's called Wings with Friends. And I know you're somewhat new to town.
Now it's called Jason's Wings with Friends.
Listen, I take pride in the fact that Vegas is a hospitality town. And then if you're here, I have to make sure that you're getting the good stuff. Now, you said you wanted to come do this, Wings with Friends. I did pick the place, and I'm hooking you. We're going to be hooked up more than you've ever been hooked up for, you know, a podcast before. So I'm not dictating how the podcast goes, but I did want to pick a good place that you will enjoy, and also that, like, hey, yo, whoever your next guest is, they're going to have to step up.
Thank you. You know, I keep trying to paint you as a villain, and it's not working. So
it's fine. Everyone else probably does, so that's okay. So.
No, that is really nice. And that's why we're at Naked City Pizza here in Las Vegas on Paradise.
Yeah.
How do you know this place?
So Chris Palmieri, the chef, who I've written about before, actually, this is how long I know Chris. Back in the day, have you ever been to Dino's, the dive bar?
Mm-mm.
So it's they call it like the last dive bar, but it's a great like late night karaoke, except you're going to just smell reek of smoke afterwards. So Chris was the executive chef at Diego on the Strip. And, you know, he's got all that fine dining training, but he left. And this was before all the food truck things. Chris was selling... He basically had a hot dog cart outside of Dino's back in the day. So I know him just from making hot dogs. And it's funny, I can show you the messages that I've sent him recently, because Naked City now has like 4 or 5 outlets, including one in his hometown. And I messaged him when that happened. I'm like, bro, I'm proud of you because I know how talented you are. I've written about you before, and like to see you expand, like you deserve all this. And now Naked City's mostly doing, you know, known for pizza, wings, that type of bar food, but he's doing brunches, he's doing pasta nights. Like, I know he's capable of all these things, so I thought it would be good for us to be here and, like, one, get you to experience it, but also shine a light on one of the hardworking, like, talented chefs who doesn't necessarily get as much publicity as some of the other people in town.
And that's Chris.
Chris Palmieri. Palmieri.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah.
By the way, hot dogs are so underrated, maybe, or hot dogs are so good, actually, just what I wanted to say.
He always had like a cheese sauce on his hot dogs. Nice. And bacon, and it was just like a perfect late night, oh my god, I'm drinking at a bar or doing karaoke at a bar, and I just want to do something naughty before I go home.
This hot dog, I love it. I got to meet Chris Palmieri for just a moment, and he's like, yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah, he's going to hook it up.
That's the best way to go to a restaurant. Well, thank you.
You might have to change this episode to wings and pizza and pasta and treats with friends or something.
Okay, that's kind of a little spoiler, is every episode. I can never just order wings when we go somewhere cool. I'm like, ooh, we need to try the pizza or the fried mushrooms. Or
yeah.
So that's kind of like a bad habit of mine. But
Well, on this one, so the way that we did this, and this is how, I know a lot of chefs in town, and I respect a lot of them. I want to, when I write about them, I try to write about them, their philosophy, how they got to where they got to, as opposed to being like, this dish, blah, 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 or, you know. So when Chris came over, I was just like, yo, just make us what you want to make us. And that's always the best way, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, I want to know more about you, and I want to start with food writing because you are bringing it up. But first, I want to just say, I'm going to ask you, which flavor do you hope he brings? Here are the flavors at Naked City Pizza. Plain, mild, medium, hot, suicide, Cajun butter, Carolina mustard barbecue, or honey mustard. What do you hope is on our table?
I want that Carolina. I like that kind of Carolina gold sauce there.
I do too.
And also the charred barbecue wings are going to be dope. That's the selling point to me, because it's like a real East Coast wing.
Oh, charred barbecue, charred Cajun butter barbecue, Sicilian, hot Sicilian. So there's like a sub menu. Interesting.
Yeah. The charred barbecue to me is like a super East Coast thing that we don't often get out here. So, all right. So our first dish just came, Mary. This is a radiatori, a radiator-shaped pasta. The only other chef I know who's making radiatori in town is James Trees, who's killing the game, but I'm glad to see Chris doing this stuff. We got like a little red meat sauce type thing, little greens in there.
This
nice,
looks
hearty, delicious.
Amazing, and I wanted this. I'd love to try everything.
I like the peppery kick in there, little against the salty cheese. It's a real nice, warm, meal. Chris is from Buffalo, so this is the type of thing you could see eating on like a fall day. Doing, watching the Bills blow a game to the Chiefs or something like that.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from North Jersey.
So, oh, okay. So you know food.
Yeah. Well,
ooh,
you know.
You got the spice.
Yeah. It's just a different styles. But, East Coast people are a bit snooty about what we, hey, I'm from New York. It's the only good stuff that there is. But it's not true.
This is so good. Like, I want to eat this on my couch.
That's what
I'm
saying.
It's raining outside.
Right, exactly. It's a great warm weather. oh, I'm going to catch up on my favorite TV show and just eat a bowl of pasta.
I'm thinking about going back and watching Breaking Bad again and then Better Call Saul. Just
really?
Yeah, I mean, I've already seen it, but I'm kind of thinking about going back because it's been a while.
What are you watching now?
I just finished a bunch of stuff. I finished Sopranos not too long ago because I had never watched it. I really like that.
Guess what?
What?
I was in... So I've been acting in Vegas since my... Basically my, you know, my whole adult life. I was in a dinner theater show that was a Sopranos spoof. And it was a terrible, miserable time in my life.
What part did you play?
It's funny you asked that. So that was our... plates clanking. So first of all, my girlfriend at the time and I both got parts in the show, and within 3 weeks we had broken up and she was chasing another actor, which was terrible because I had to act with her. Yeah, I had to act with her 6 nights a week, and it was an interactive show, right? So I had to like pretend I was happy the whole time with all these guests, and my heart was just broken. So I got hired basically first as AJ, which I don't look like at all, but I was young and I was good at improv and everything like that.
So I think AJ was the worst character in the Sopranos.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Then they found this kid who looked a lot like him. So I got moved to Swing, and I was usually like an FBI agent or this or that. But what happened was, even though I was in my 20s, I could do characters. I had all this energy. They moved me to Polly a lot of the time. So I'm in my 20s speaking like Polly Walnuts. I don't look anything like him. And I'm like,
he was one of the best characters.
Yeah, it was fun to play because there was a lot of machismo and energy when me and the other leads were there. Like, there was a real kind of sense of that type of thing. But it was weird because I was in my mid-20s and I'm like, hey, D, what are we doing today? You know? So
did you see that thing about why Polly always had his hands in front of him in every picture?
No. Why is that?
Because the actor, I can't remember his name right now.
Tony Sirico.
Yeah. He actually did time in
prison.
Yeah,
I know that.
And if you have your hands in front of you, you're always ready in case somebody comes at you.
Interesting.
So it's just, I think it's one of those like cool character choices, but it's very realistic of like a guy like him would always have his hands in front of him.
I agree. I went to the Springsteen show last week, Little Steven, of course, Silvio. And I'll tell you a funny story. I interviewed Little Steven. I'm a huge Springsteen fan and a huge Little Steven fan. I interviewed Little Steven for a magazine years ago. I think he was on like his private jet, and I'm calling him, and we were on for 45 minutes, and I got through about half of what I wanted to ask because I'm like, I know all, like I'm a huge Springsteen guy, like I said, so I have all these questions, all this and that, and didn't get into the acting. But we go to his show, and I brought this guy, J.H. Williams, who, if you're a comic book fan, it's like saying, like, I brought Steven Spielberg, right? He's that big. And I had written a piece for a graphic novel that he produced after the 10-1, you know, tragedy. And we raised, I think, my last count, it was over $125,000, which was great. So I bring J.H. backstage, and we meet Steven, right? And Steven is dressed in, like, you know, at this time he was in his Native American gear. Now he's a pirate, basically, right?
He's like a gypsy pirate. Yeah.
So we're backstage, we're talking. I can see JH is nervous. Steven's like, hey, you know, I think we maybe get some show to this, people to the show. I'm like, yeah, you're going to be fine, buddy. You know, so, but so JH has all these books that he's worked on with him, right? Steven goes, well, what do you got there? And he's like, sir, I work in the comic book industry, and this is like the biggest dude, right? He works with Neil Gaiman, he does all this stuff, right?
Thank you. Oh, there's pizza!
All right, is a buffalo style kind of vodka pie with the, what do we have, burrata on top or burrata?
Oh my goodness.
There we go. What was that?
Pepperoni sliced onion.
Oh, so good.
You know what everything is before anybody says anything.
I mean, it's my job sometimes, but also this looks great. So anyway, so JH is all nervous, and he's, you know, a guy who's worked on like Neil Gaiman and all this stuff. Like, so he goes, sir, I write comic books. I write books. I brought some of my work with me. If you want it, or if someone on your crew wants it, they're just here for you. And little Steven like looks at it like really like intensely. And after a beat, he goes, what do you call these, graphic novels? And I was just like, that's the perfect answer from this guy.
It
was a perfect interaction. So.
That is really cool. So, tell me how you're a food writer. Let's start there. I can tell how it blends into every other aspect of your interests, acting and film making and so on. But how'd you become a food writer?
I got into it by accident, actually. So back in the day, I was pitching a lot of reality TV, and I actually co-created and produced the first food competition show that ever aired on ABC. It was called Time Machine Chefs.
Fun.
The idea was so good it should still be on, but we made a terrible deal. We had a 6-offer deal on the table from History Channel where it should have gone, but the exec producers at the time said, oh, ABC wants it. And I'm like, this is totally wrong for ABC. They're going to dumb it down and ruin it. And they did. But I was also the exec producer, was terrible and not a good person. So basically the concept was you take four superstar chefs, transport them back in time wherever they land. They can only cook using cooking methods and ingredients of that time period, which now you see on every cooking
show.
There's
even a comedy show like that.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, it's like a year. You pick a year.
Whoa, what show is that?
I can't remember, but it's in LA and I see people on it.
I like that, like the historical roasts and stuff. So we do the show. It goes on. It outrates what it's supposed to, but it doesn't get picked up. I moved, I was living in LA at the time, and then we moved back to Vegas when my ex, her baby, my daughter's mom, when we got pregnant, we moved back up here. And then what happened was, I just knew, I know a lot of people, they know I have different skills. So I was talking to a magazine editor, and the first piece she hired me to do was actually on the Springsteen documentary back in the day. So I was writing about movies. And then what happened was she goes, hey, I think I'm going to transfer you to live music. And I was like, yes. So I covered every band that I wanted to see for about 10 years in Vegas. I saw every big show.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Although my hearing will tell you I should have done a better job with earplugs back then.
Did you lose some of your hearing?
A little bit. But I was at least aware of it and stopped it in time. So then I moved over to a different magazine just to basically focus on music writing. But I saw, my background, I was like, I can come at food from a different way, right? So what happened was they were like, look, we got all this stuff locked up on the strip, high-end dining. I'm like, that's fine, dude. I'll find every taco shop, every little hole in the wall behind the tire shops, Cuban pizza places, whatever. So I became like the guy on the street, like finding, this was before all this was like trending and stuff like that, right? There was no Instagram reels where it was like, you want to know the biggest secret in the craziest neighborhood? And so I was writing about all this stuff, and then other magazines found me. And then what I did with other magazines was like, cool, if I'm going to write about kind of all the street food here, I'm going to attack like high-end food for this. So I tried to really expand what I was doing. And what quickly became in me is like, look, anyone, I've written quote-unquote food reviews, and it's doable and people can do it. But what I do better is tell the stories, like, who are the chefs? What are their philosophies? Why are they cooking the way they are? And all that. I think that's what I do best. And I think that's what my chefs, respect me, is because they know I'm going to at least try to tell an honest portrayal of who they are.
I love that. That's exciting. Let's try this pizza. I was waiting for you to stop talking so that.
Yeah, I talked a lot.
I'm just kidding. So it's like it started with music writing and
movies
and blended
and music.
And then it went into food.
Yeah. Man, this is good. Okay. You should eat it. Okay. The pepperoos, the sweetness on those little peppers on top of that, it's like, this is buffalo style is what Chris calls it to me.
I thought that's what I tasted when I took like a little bite.
Yeah, the sweetness. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like, to me, I would compare it to like the best version of a lunchroom pizza you could ever have, right?
The lunchroom pizza?
Like what we used to get in school and everything, which... And that's not an insult.
Because it's a square.
Right. Well, yeah. So this is kind of like a mix between, it's a little thicker than a grandma pie, not as thick as a Sicilian, but this is yummy. This is delicious.
And it has burrata on top.
Yeah.
Like there's several things if I see on a menu I'm going to order. Burrata is one. Brie cheese. Anything pretzel sometimes, I'll get that.
Yeah.
Anything brisket. I'll get.
Yeah.
But like burrata's up there.
What I like about, you got the vodka sauce, you got the burrata, but I really think the pepperoos, the heat and the sweet are what really make this for me.
The sweet is like so surprising.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't like to eat like on cam, on video, whatever, but I can't help it.
Yeah, do you hear? This is my AMSR right here.
I hope, so. I hope it doesn't bother anybody. The smacking. And you're also on this show called Battle Bots. So, I'm sorry.
It's like this is your life right now.
Well, I don't. That's the thing is, this is why this is good, because I don't really know much about you. And you've got some really fun stuff coming up. We're going to talk about that too. Tell me about Battle Bots.
So, when I describe. So, Battle Bots, very popular TV show, huge YouTube presence. It's been on. It's on Max now. You can watch all the seasons on Max. They used to be on Comedy Central, probably some other networks too. But I'd seen this ad on Facebook that they were casting for a live show, and I just kind of ignored it the first time I saw it. And then I was like, whatever, like, let's just see what this is about, because I knew the show. I never really, you know, I was a casual person of it, like not a, but it was cool. So I went in and did the audition. It's all improvised pretty much. And like, that's a strength of mine. So I was able to improvise this audition. It was two rounds. I got cast. Basically, what it is the live show is basically the TV show. Nice whistle right there. It's the TV show meets pro wrestling is how I describe it. So you have these robots fighting. They hired a bunch of actors to represent the robots. So I basically play what would be the equivalent of a manager of a robot on there, right?
Oh, okay. Because I've been wondering, I'm like, how do comedians or actors fit into this show?
Yeah, so each robot that comes out, they have promos or, you know, interviews, pregame, postgame stuff. So I have a nice showcase piece in there. I'm always in the middle of the show. I represent this robot, Nightmare, and I get to fight a slot machine, and it's really a lot of fun. Here we go. Some wings, it looks like. So, all right. Which ones do we have?
Cajun butter barbecue and medium.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, and a ranch and a blue cheese. Mm-hmm. He does it right. This is so good.
We got to just call it a day after this, you know?
Yeah.
So, BattleBots is the best way I can describe it is like this. I've done so many shows in Vegas and a lot of bad shows that I had mentioned. So when I end up in a good one, I really know how to appreciate it. This is a great gig. It's a great family show. The fights are all real. People love it. And I love the cast that I get to act with and the crew. It's just a really, really good Vegas production. I'm happy to be a part of it, and I hope it goes on for a while.
Yeah, that's really cool. I what seems really cool to me is also just being a part of other people's memories. I imagine families come to Vegas, they want to see BattleBots. I've had a couple of my friends from back east go like, oh, you know, what about BattleBots? I'm like, I don't know what that is, but now I do. And just to kind of be a part of their story and their experience of like, wow, that was so much fun, you know?
It is. People, it's a great family show, like I said. I mean, you got to come. I always hook up comedians with tickets when I can. So we've had a lot of comics roll through, including Dave Attell. That was pretty exciting.
Oh, really? Oh, I saw that. Yeah. That's cool.
So we've had like the filmmaker Darren Aronofsky's been there.
Oh, yeah, because his movie's on at the Sphere. Right. Which I want to go see that.
Me too. I want to see that as well. And then, you know, kind of Roy Wood Jr. was there with his kid. It's a great family show.
Yeah.
It's in the daytime a lot, so comics can come out. So, it also, like, inspires kids. Like, my daughter comes a lot, and she's like, I want to build a robot. So, like, all these kids, like, get into it, and that's really cool. Like
engineering.
Yeah, they're learning a new skill or getting excited about something new. I don't know anything about building the robots. I just look pretty and, you know, put on a game face, but it's a lot of fun, you know. Great cast. They did such a good job of casting it, not just with talent, but like really good people. Like, it's fun. I like the people I work with, which is not something you always get to say.
That's really cool. Okay, so go see Jason at Battle
Go
Bots.
See it. I'm going to try this Cajun. Look at this char-grilled Cajun barbecue wing right now. Go ahead.
That's going to be the name of the episode. It's charred Cajun butter. Right?
Let me know.
I'm going to ask you some questions about how you like your wings in a minute, but yeah, I guess I
should take
a bite.
I want you to try that. You got to try that. I think it's pretty unique. I don't think you'll find another wing like that in town.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's what I want. Like, see, I get great joy out of taking people to restaurants they haven't been before that I like and respect, and getting those reactions. Like, I want you to love this food. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm the same way. Back in Phoenix, when I'd have like friends or colleagues come from out of town, and they all want to go, you know, go somewhere, and I would take them to Barrio Queen was my like go-to to take like Midwesterners, and it was so satisfying for them to be like, this is so great, because there's some ambiance, it looks cool, the service is great, and the food was great, and it's like, yes, this is all I want.
We had next time, let's go.
Have you ever been to a Barrio Queen?
No, okay. When I'm in Phoenix, it's a Pizzeria Bianco, kind of, you got to get there
Jimmy
all the
Kimmel.
Time. Yeah, he is, and he's a legend, his food holds up, so.
It's hot. It's hard to do with one hand.
I like it. It's good. So, we're going to need like 1,000 more napkins, but that's cool. So
we have, there's a bunch there. How do you like your wings? Let's get into your wing constitution a little bit, Jason Harris.
Tell me what this wing constitution thing is.
No, I'll ask the questions. You just answer them.
Sorry, that's on me for trying to learn more about your project.
So, no. Again, that just makes me a bitch. I'm like trying. No. Wing constitution is it's like a personality test, and it kind of just really tells about like who you are. Are you okay sharing that ranch with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. No double dips.
No double dips,
well,
Mayor.
Just kidding. Yeah. Okay.
You can always put some on the plate if you need.
Do you
to.
Prefer a drummy or a flat?
That's a good question. Yeah. It looks like I like the drumsticks right now because that's what I'm going for, but I think they're just easier to handle. So I'm going to say drumstick, but
okay, you're like, drummy. First answer.
Yeah, there's no real preference for me. So
I'm about to get real saucy here on my face. So okay.
Look, here's the worst thing is when you get a wing that hasn't been cooked enough and it's like flabby and under right?
That would never happen here.
No, this is
amazing.
This char grill, that's what I'm really excited about. These.
Yeah, there's beautiful char on these wings. Oh, I didn't take a picture. Actually,
I did. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Do you like ranch or blue cheese or nothing?
Oh, I like ranch or blue cheese or nothing, depending on the flavor. So I'm good with whatever, or it could be whatever type of sauce, you think fits your wing.
Okay. Do you eat the celery and carrots? Veggies, no veggies?
100%.
All the veggies.
I love vegetables in general. I like them here. It's a good crunch, obviously.
I
nice
like a good fresh
and,
cut vegetable.
Yeah. In general, if I'm at a restaurant and I see, like, I'm not a vegetarian, but I don't eat a ton of meat. But if I see a dish that's vegetable forward or a full vegetarian dish, I'll probably order that over a meat dish every time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that vegetable cookery shows how a skill that a lot of chefs don't necessarily work on. Like, how do you bring out the best flavors of something?
That's a good point.
You know, and also not hide those flavors. A lot of chefs like to hide them with meat or whatever. But, like, if I want a carrot, I want you to blast that carrot at me. Sounds so weird to say. But you know what I mean? Like, I want to taste all the carrotiness of it or
whatnot.
That's
nice. I mean, I was just thinking about the side carrots that come with this, but you bring up a really good point. And the first thing that popped in my mind, another Phoenix, gem, is Pita Jungle. And they make, their mixed veggies are good, but they have like a cauliflower in like a tahini sauce.
I love
with
that.
Caramelized onions. And it is so good and flavorful. And I'm like, yes.
Well, cauliflower is a great vegetable because it's a strong vegetable, right? So it can hold up to a lot of flavors. That's what, when people say they don't like tofu, it's like, I just don't think you understand tofu because tofu is basically neutral, right? So whatever you add to it is going to give you that flavor. Cauliflower is almost like a clean base to work from. That's the end of my sentence.
That's a good point. Do you prefer like a saucy wing or like a dry rub?
Again, it's more about the execution to me than anything else. I like a good dry rub, but I mean, this char-grilled Cajun butter wing is awesome. That's what I probably would go for first.
I think this is like the perfect, because there's sauce, but it's not dripping. And it's just like so much flavor. But yeah, so you like a sauce wing?
I think so. I like I said, I'm not I'm not too particular. I also like chicken fingers. I like the boneless. I'm open to that.
We don't really talk about that on this podcast.
It's not called Fingers and Friends. Well, that's different. I don't even know if
that's a different podcast. Yeah. We're doing that one at 4 o'clock.
All right, I'm in.
So
I'm in a raw dog Fingers and Friends today.
So. No, we like to be like pretend to be wing snobs and be like, those are just chicken nuggets. No, those aren't wings. But the truth is, yes, I will eat boneless sometimes when I just want to eat. Like, I don't want to work too hard. Okay, well, here's the last question of the Constitution. Oh, go ahead. I don't mean to cut
you off. No, yesterday I sent you a picture from another great place, Luchino's. And that, what I sent you was a finger. It was a, not a human finger. It was a chicken finger. And it was a hot honey cornflake crusted chicken finger with like jalapenos. That's a great dish. It's really good.
Yeah, the cornflakes seems like it would add this like crunch and a little bit of sweetness, and then that hot honey. You know, those are the kind of pictures, unsolicited, I will get and take all the time.
Oh, good. Do you get? You probably get a lot of other types that you're not.
People think that,
for.
But no, I never do. How do you get those?
I don't know.
Every other female comedian talks about it. I'm like, how do you get that?
I don't get any. No one's sending me any.
Can you imagine somebody just sent you a picture of a finger?
Listen, whatever you want. If you guys out there are listening, want to send me dongs, titties, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just nice to feel like you're thinking about me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You get it. Like, why not? Next thing you know, you're flooded with
dongs.
Peens.
I don't want that.
You just said you wanted it.
I just want to feel wanted.
Okay, we all do. We all do. Okay, last question of a wing constitution, okay. And then I'm going to pause because I want to eat.
Oh, well, I thought we were doing both, but that's fine.
You can't eat with one hand.
I'm doing it.
You are. Okay, how many wings can you eat? What's your number? If you were hungry, I don't know. You can paint the situation however you want, but what's your...
I'm going to paint it. My favorite thing right now is you said you can't eat with one hand. You got a little sauce. You got a little wing in your teeth there, and you're just going and being a pro, Mary.
My teeth have got
a little bit, but that's okay. And on your lip right there, some stuff.
Oh, that's on purpose.
What is this like a challenge? Because I'll just take on whatever challenge you want. And
no, it's just your number. What's your wing? What's your perfect amount of wings to eat?
It's a good question because I look at wings as like an accompaniment as opposed to a main course, right? So I'm always getting it with like pizza or anything like that. So I'm usually like a two or three, and then.
Oh.
But I mean, I could eat all these right now if you wanted me to.
Yeah, like we have a nice like four of this, four of that. But like, if you were just going to a bar and you're gonna eat wings.
I don't know if that would ever happen.
Okay, you would always get something else.
Yeah.
You're really going against the grain here, Jason. I guess that's fine.
You should know about me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
What's yours? What's your number?
My perfect wing number is like 14 to 16.
Nice.
If I'm just eating wings. If I'm doing like this, I like the four. But that way, I can eat as much of them as I want. I don't like people judging me for not cleaning the bone, maybe. Or
that's so funny you say that. My daughter, her mom is Filipino. So, hey, we got
hello,
special guest.
Chris. Hey, okay. Chris. These are amazing. Tell me about these wings.
Those that you guys are eating right now are just our classic, like medium wings, like buffalo style wings. And then the Cajun butter charred barbecue.
This Cajun butter and that char is divine. Thank you so much. Okay. Did you think of that yourself?
I mean, we've always done charred wings. And the Cajun butter barbecue is kind of based on a few things I saw back in Buffalo when I've been there when we opened our restaurant last summer. So
yeah. Buffalo's big on the Cajun flavors now.
Everybody tries to one-up each other there, so they always got something crazy going.
But I was saying, because, you know, I'm from Jersey, and my dad lives in upstate New York, the char is something that is specific to where kind of we grow up, right?
Yeah, yeah. You don't, I mean, if you order barbecue wings like anywhere else, you don't really see them char them or charbroil them like we do. But I think it adds like a whole new flavor, texture, and everything to it.
I was telling Mary about, you know, you're deceptive. You're deceptive, Chris, because you make great bar food and you run a lot of bar restaurants. But, dude, I know your high-end background. I know you could throw down a Top Chef style meal if you wanted to.
You can
right
taste
now.
It in this pizza. Well, in everything, you can really taste a high-end background.
I mean, yeah, that's what we've always tried to do. Is, you know, I worked on the Strip many years ago, but like, you know, trying to run special pizzas and stuff like that with elevated ingredients and different techniques and stuff like that. But, you know, then doing stuff like the pasta nights we're doing on Tuesdays and brunch now, like get to play around and have some fun.
Well, you also, what I appreciate is you understand, like, hey, you know, five ingredients is enough on a lot of things. I don't like when chefs overcomplicate things because it takes away the quality of flavor. And also, I think it's an insecurity. It's like you're showing a security in your ability of saying, like, I'm going to let these flavors shine the way they should.
I mean, basically, you're just supposed to, you know, put the right flavors together, get the best ingredients, and don't screw it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's technique. It's easy. You know, yeah, it can easily be, you know, watered down and stuff by adding too much to a dish, pizza or anything.
Well said.
Scott,
yeah.
I tell you, he knows this. Yeah. So we do, the Pizza Expo just finished, but the Las Vegas Pizza Festival is in November. And 2 years ago, this dude just came out and cleaned clocks. He, you know, I think people, you know, we all know what a good chef you are, but maybe you don't always get the credit you deserve as a pizzaiolo. And then at that pizza festival, you just threw down the gauntlet on people.
It was fun, man. And then we're planning to be back this year. Last year we weren't able to again because we were opening the restaurant in Buffalo, so I spent a lot of time up there. But yeah, we're looking forward to it this year, coming back out and hopefully doing something fun that'll surprise people again. So
maybe add a hot dog cart this year, like the old days.
Never know. Go back to my roots. So.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Chris. This is delicious.
Absolutely. Enjoy the rest of it.
Thanks, Chris.
So, thanks for doing all the work for me.
I'm doing is spotlighting a guy who I think is super talented, who deserves to have a spotlight on him. So
yeah.
I'm not doing anything.
I love that.
Yeah.
That whole like five ingredients is all you need, and it's like restraint. It really comes to life in this because you're like, yeah, this is just good chicken cooked really well.
I agree. I mean, that's not to say, like, I mean, you're in Phoenix or you were from Phoenix or whatever.
I'm actually from San Diego originally, but then I was in Phoenix the last 18 years, and then I just moved to Vegas a year ago.
We're happy to have you here.
Thanks. That's nice.
You know, like, dude, a great mole might have like 40, 50 ingredients, right? But that, again, is like, how do you care for it? How do you craft it? Like, I have a friend, my friend Steve Kessler, who runs Aroma Cafe, which is amazing, who's up for a James Beard Award right now.
Wow.
I wrote about him and his mole. I go, how, because it's like whatever, 20, 30 ingredients. I go, how long does it take you to prep it? He goes, it takes me 10 minutes to put the ingredients together, but it takes me 24 hours to get them to gel the way they're supposed to gel. And I appreciate that work. Like, that's someone who cares, you know?
That's really nice. I can really see and hear the way you appreciate food. It's probably what makes you a really good
fat guy
food writer.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I'm going to pause for a minute because I really need to eat this. I'm not good with technology.
It's fine.
Hopefully. I think it will be fine. This is folder 1, zoom 7. So we're talking about Shoop. What a man.
Yeah.
You were horny for those songs when you were a kid?
For the videos. I mean, I like the jams.
Because it was Salt and Pepper. Like,
oh, they were so hot, dude. Yeah. So I do a joke about BET Uncut. You remember that show?
No.
Black Entertainment Television. They played all the uncensored rap videos at late night.
Oh, was it like porn to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was, you know, we got AOL when we were growing up, right? So that was our pre-AOL looks right there.
Well, I'm trying to think, when did I get AOL? That's probably after high school.
Dial-up
but
porn.
Either way.
What a commitment to look
at
porn,
right?
Dial-up.
Oh, yeah. I was more of the generation of, like, watching it through the squiggly lines.
Yeah, I like that, too, because it was disorienting, though. You'd be like, I see a titty. No, I don't. Or you'd have to watch, and then if your parents were coming down the stairs.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so. We all have this like shared memory of like the shame of
it all.
What's
your go-to now?
For porn.
Yeah.
Like platform or type?
Type. I don't know.
I'm just saying, I can't admit this. I'll go to Pornhub sometimes. But I also subscribe to one person on OnlyFans.
Oh.
Actually, I subscribe to Adam Dominguez, but I don't.
That
see
doesn't
it.
Count.
He really gets, his comedy gets in the way of my porn. There's family sitting here, so we can't talk
who's
about
your, it. Who are you a fan of on OnlyFans?
There's this one guy who I saw on TikTok once. And then I was like, who is this? And he's kind of like, Look, it's you. Do you want to see it?
No.
So it's just kind of fascinating because usually his dick is usually bigger than the women that that are in the videos, and it's just. Why am I telling you? So that's just kind of fascinating. His name is Girthmaster.
That's a good one.
So I feel like
He's not really hiding it. He's really putting it out front there.
Oh, no, he's not hiding it.
No, I mean, even with the name, it's like advertising.
Yeah, it says Girthmaster 8x7 or something like that. Those are his measurements.
Okay.
That's pretty big. I mean, and it's a novelty.
Yeah, it's like if you were putting together a pro wrestling card and you had Andre the Giant in there.
Who wouldn't put Andre the Giant in there?
I would. Definitely. Yeah. It's kind of like my BattleBots
unitard
fight. You know, I fight the slot machine. All the other robots fight other robots, and we're like the novelty act in there.
Oh, fun. It's a slot machine?
That we fight against. And by the way, that slot machine has a tiny cock, so it is... it is insulting.
If I go to Pornhub, I'll probably just look at some like amateur threesomes or something like that. I love to watch normal people do it. It just makes me feel better about myself.
Do you think it would be more enticing if like the scenes were like at the beginning, like, hey, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this month, and you could really get into the, you know, the chaos of what it's like to live nowadays.
I think that'd be entertaining, but too bad like stepbrother and stepsister stories are everywhere.
Everyone loves that. It's so strange. I don't
know. So it must be popular. You know, somebody told me once, if you ever feel like you are not attractive or nobody likes you, just type in what you would think you are, like your type. Just type that in and something will come up and somebody has a fetish for your
nice.
Type.
Yeah. Doing well. How's dating going out here since
me?
You've been? Yeah.
I right when I moved here, I got on Tinder. Cause
the worst.
Yeah. You can't have it on the weekends though, because there's too many people traveling. And I met somebody and I was in a relationship for like a good like 7 or 8 months, which is crazy because I really have not. I guess up until then, I feel like I've never been in a, like a real relationship, like a normal.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of like I'm stunted that way.
Among others.
And so, yeah, and it was fine. It was good. But we broke up in January, which I feel really sad about. But also, it was probably for the best. You know, like, I don't know. I don't think he liked me.
Have you ever hooked up with another comic?
Yeah, but I have kind of standards.
They have to be a certain amount of funny. Is that what you're saying? Like you won't just
hit
up an open micer?
Maybe like that's cocky of saying like a certain level of success. No, actually, it's really just the person. Like
of course.
Like if yeah.
I got it.
But I think what I learned from my last relationship is just I don't want to be in a relationship unless I really need a guy to just. Really be into me has to like his and I think that's the key, right? Like you can't just half-ass something. It's like you have to and it should be reciprocal, but like I really need somebody to like really be into me, like really like me, because I also realize, look, you opened up a whole can of worms here. A lot of the people in my life, my friends, my family, they're like really into me, not sexually, but they just I'm really lucky that way.
That's nice.
So I'm not gonna. The owner does not want to wake up this
morning with sweet peppers. He's making you another one. And if you have it just a minute. Double pizzas. Yeah, that's the best, right?
I don't want to settle for something less than that. So that's what I know right now. But also the breakup gave me a good opportunity to like. Hey, Mary, why did you move to Vegas? You didn't move here to be in this mediocre relationship.
Right.
You moved here to do comedy, right. To dig in. So I really, like, especially when that ended in January, I was like, all right, I'm doing my stuff.
So you know I'm a single dad and everything.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't want to focus on your dating life, but you want to find a partner for me, I'm open to that. Like, you can wingman for me. Speaking of our wings that we're eating, you know, you can matchmake for me.
Oh, yeah, with all the open mic comics that I know.
No, I'm good on that. I didn't say any of that. I just said people in general.
Oh,
so.
I don't know anybody.
You know a lot of people who you just said are into you, so like,
well,
you
like
know
my friends?
Yeah. I didn't. Where do you think I'm just looking at data comic? That'd be the worst.
So. I'm just saying, like, I don't know anybody.
You have friends?
They're all, like, I have one single friend.
That's a start.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I was just making conversation.
That was like, terrible conversation.
You're like, I'm never going to hook you up with anybody. Why would I? You ugly ogre.
No. Like, I've never hooked. I don't know if I've ever hooked anybody up with somebody.
So now
before.
That's another thing you get to do.
Yeah. I'm happy for everybody else's happiness.
Yeah. I remember when I was in eighth grade, I hooked up Brian Mozalenko and Lillian Cooper, and that was a nice little relationship for
a
minute.
Did you get married?
No, I don't think so, but the worst was in ninth grade, Lillian Cooper had her birthday party at the roller rink, and I think I made fun of her, which is fine. We can always make fun of each other. She kicked me in the shin with a roller skate.
Sounds like you deserved it.
I had a fucking bump on my shin. Like, the bone didn't heal for years. That was a terrible thing to do to a human being, and I hope
so. Brian, I was making fun of them, bullying him at the skating rink.
Is it? Does that? Do you think that's an equal punishment for the crime committed?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You said you're a single dad. Is it hard dating as a single dad?
It's nearly impossible for me because now this is going to shock you. I'm better in person than I am on the apps. So, you know, I like to meet people. I like to get to know people. I think they need that from me to date me, and so I'm always good, but I was always out. Like, obviously I'm a social person. I was always out in the bar scene, the downtown scene, the art scene, so I've never had a problem meeting people. But obviously my commitment is to my daughter, and that's how it should be, and I'm good with that. So if I'm not with her, I have her half the week. The other half of the week I'm either doing shows or, you know, doing BattleBots, which is also a show, or writing or whatever. So dating is, like, I told a producer friend of mine, I was like, man, I need a girlfriend. He's like, when are you going to have time for that? And I was like, that's a fair point. But this is also, as I was telling you off air, I think it's definitely, lately, I know it's held me back from ascending in comedy in some places here in town.
What is?
The fact that I'm a caring single parent.
Oh, I thought so. Not having a girlfriend.
No, not at all. There are definitely bookers who have told me that they don't book me because I don't hang out, and it's like, that's really crappy, but that's the game, and I'm not into that game. So I'm never gonna put anything ahead of my daughter. And
of course,
you know,
well, I don't think they put anything ahead of their kids either.
I mean, you know, listen, I literally, there's booker in town who told me, like, well, you haven't been booked because you haven't been hanging out. And I'm like, do you want me to be a worse father? Is that what you're telling me? And they're like, and he was like, well, I understand that, but the other person who is part of this booking committee doesn't understand that. And it's like, okay, so you're admitting that. So that's fine. Like, let's put it all on the table and be honest about what
we
are.
Do you think you need to hang out, or do you think they just need to see your face every once in a while?
I mean, it might be see my face, but if you've worked for someone, I feel like if you've worked for someone once, then they know enough about you. And if you work for them regularly, then at what point do you not need to see a face to know, hey, this person delivers on X, Y, or Z?
Well, I would think if you were looking for a job, you might create a resume and send it out, right? Like, if you were looking, if you found yourself needing a job, right? You would go out and find it.
Yeah. But if you were working at that job for years and the people know what you're capable of as a worker,
they just okay, go.
But I understand what you're saying. I'm just telling you a problem I've run into as someone who, I think, you know, my act. Look, you can think whatever you want about it. That's totally cool. But I think, like, I try to let the work speak for itself. And I think, you know, it's definitely, it was really, more than anything, it was a mind fuck, because it's like, hey, I put in all this work. I know what I'm capable of. I know my credits are. And now you're telling me I can't be booked because I want to take care of my kid. Like, that was really,
yeah, that's
that really
harsh.
Bothered me. Yeah. So, and there was more than one booker, not the kid thing, but another booker. Also, I remember once I worked a theater show for him. We sold out the theater. We sold it out again the next month with a different booker, and he never rebooked me. And I go, what's up, bro? And like 2 years later, he's like, yeah, man, after the show, you didn't hang out. I'm like, are you paying me to, like, eat sandwiches with you, or are you paying me to do the work here? So maybe part of that's on me. Like, maybe I need to be a little more open. But at the same time, I figure you hired me for a job, I'm going to do the job. And then after that, I'm going to treat everyone respectfully and everything, and then I'm going to go do the next thing.
Yeah. Speaking of the next thing, you're going to be in the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah.
That is so exciting.
Yeah. They don't care that I'm a single dad. No, I'm just kidding with you.
Good luck getting invited back next year.
Here, I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
I got asked to submit. This is again, I think this is actually a good story for comics or actors or anyone who has some type of...
This song brings back a lot of memories, too, smooth, by the way. Yeah, the from entire 1999. I turned 21 in 1999. It was probably the best year of my life.
Yeah, making moves.
I was like cruising Ocean Beach in my Mitsubishi Eclipse. It was like me and my friend Nicole. It was like the best
time. You had no responsibilities because you were young, right?
And we would just end up at somebody's apartment at the beach, dancing to the song in the living room, home. Anyway, go ahead.
With the first Netflix was a Joke Fest, I got asked to submit for the quote-unquote new faces, right?
Yeah.
And that was years ago. And I didn't submit because I didn't like my demo at the time, right? Think what an idiot you have to be when the guy who books the biggest festival in the world is like, hey, submit. And you're like, nah, I'm not happy enough with my demo right now, you know? So that show, if you look at the current cast of Saturday Night Live, half of them were on that show. Ugh. And I'm not saying I would have gotten to that, but I am saying it was, I know, I feel like I would have, I mean, my comedy would have played well there, I think, and it would have led to other things. And I'm still, you know, close with the guy. He booked me this year, obviously, but I talked to him about it, and I was like, I just wasn't happy with my demo set at the time. Like, I was happy with what I do on stage, but I wasn't happy with what I had on tape. And he goes, I didn't ask you to submit because you were happy with it. I asked you because I know what you're capable of. And he was right. He's like, you have to let other people help you. And that's something that I've had a problem with learning, because we all get burned, right? And I think I've been burned a lot by people. But there was a person who really supported me, really believed in me as a comic. And I messed up because I was being too hard on myself and not being open to having other people, kind of help elevate or lift me up or whatnot. So, you know.
You that's like also like you got to. Can you hand me the open one? I just want to put a little bit on the napkin.
Mary's got to clean her shirt because she...
I got pizza sauce on. No, but that's also like you got to be ready and stay ready, you know?
I was 100% ready as a performer.
No, that means having your clips ready. Have your 5, I know. Have your 10, have your 30-minute spot. If they ask you, they're going to be like, boom, I'm sending it to you.
But
you want to know my avails? I could send it to you right now in a nice little calendar.
I'm glad that we're chatting with this, and I'd like to chat more with you off of air on this, because as I was telling you, like, I think like what I do on stage is clear. You know, whatever you feel about it, there are people who like it. There could be people who don't. That's fine, but I get work, and what I don't do is... what I don't have is like what you're talking about, like an organized marketing plan, ready to go, hustling to find that extra work. Like I am not, that is a weakness of mine that I should be better at.
Well, I think sometimes when you get to a certain level of success too, maybe it's like, hey, I haven't had to do this in a while.
You still have to be your own best advocate though, right?
Yeah. And I try to balance those activities. I'm sorry. I'm just like wiping my shirt here. I try to balance my activities between like performing, admin work, networking, and what's the other one? Writing. So like keep those four things in balance all the time, because it can be really easy, or it feels good to like update your website and make new cards and like do all this, you know, like I did a new podcast thumbnail. I'm like, oh, this is fun. But is that creating a podcast? No, you're just having fun with your picture, you know? So what am I trying to say? Maybe some more admin in there.
No, definitely.
But also, I'm only 1 year here in Vegas, where I was like, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to hustle.
I think you're doing great. I think you're doing great. Yeah, you are though. But it's funny you bring that up, because like honestly, like on my own resume, not my comic resume, but my whatever other resume, right? I literally have an Addy Award for work that I did for Gordon Ramsay opening the Hell's Kitchen restaurant. That's like a big thing. I didn't even put that on my resume. That's how bad I am at marketing myself. I have a award for helping market someone else, and I didn't put that on my own resume to help market myself. Like, that's terrible, dude. Yeah.
I have a friend who was on AGT. extreme, and she doesn't put that anywhere, and I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I
What's
definitely
wrong
am.
With us?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like I like to focus on the work. I know that, but this is part of the work, and I'm not good at this part. I'd always rather be like working on an idea or writing or something like that.
Well, you know, marketing is really important because you can have the best product, you can have the best everything. But if nobody sees it, it's not going to go.
100%. And that is a total weak spot for me.
Well, now that I'm, so anyway, Netflix is a joke. So they invite you to submit. Is that how that works?
The first time they invited me to submit, and I, like, as I said, I kind of blew it. But I learned a good lesson there. And then this time I got a call while I was at BattleBots. And what they did was they chose 50 openers, feature acts from around the country. No, actually 42 from LA and 8 from around the country in Canada. And I was one of the 8 they chose.
That's nice.
I'm one of only 3 comics in Vegas who was asked, which is an honor, you know. But so I have one date set. I'm waiting for the other. I think I'm doing 3 shows. They're waiting to see what the other 2 are. But it was an honor. But also, like, again, this is like going into that deep thing where it's like, oh, like 2 years ago, when the first one happened, I was like rolling. I would have been ready. I would have crushed. This time I had been kind of, not that I wasn't doing comedy, but last year after my mom died, I took a break and I wasn't doing comedy as much and I wasn't in the rhythm that I know I can be in. So when I got the offer, I was like, it was almost like, am I even worthy of this offer at this point in time? Right. But then I had to remember, like, I got the offer because this guy thinks I'm worthy of it, right? He's not booking me because we're pals or anything, because this is his job, right? You know, so I went out and I've been treating it almost like a fighter would a training camp, right? Like, and you know, I've been tapering up. I've been hitting open mics more than I have in years, and I've just been experimenting for a month and a half of what I want to do, and then next month I'll kind of do more club stuff and really kind of refine. But it's been a month and a half of just like seeing what fails, what's not failing, and like getting it so I'm not resting on a set that I would have done 2 years ago or anything like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's exciting.
It is exciting. It's fun. It's, you know, we use the word refinement a lot and everything. Like, that's
been a theme.
Yeah, I think it's important. I remember Robert De Niro on an actor's studio when James Lipton said, "What is your favorite word?" Refinement was his favorite word. And I'm like, that's a perfect word for an actor, performer, comedian, right? So, yeah, it's been really fun. And it's been good because, like, I have a lot of freedom to try new stuff. And but really, I haven't built the set yet, but I will. That'll be next month. I'm going to build a whole set and just kind of push that. So
nice. That's exciting. Can't wait to see that.
It's your show, bro. You have to say something.
Just call me bro.
I mean, you just looked at me like, what do we do?
I hit a wall. A pizza wall.
Oh, was it? You got some wings to wash it down, though, so.
I'm so full.
Yeah, good.
How fun. Well, thank you so much, Jason Harris. Where can people follow you if you want them to?
No, I do. I should want that. So it's Jason Harris Comedy or J Harris Comedy on all the socials. Also on Letterboxd, go for Jason. And I hope you'll give my podcast a listen. I'm pretty proud of that. I have a podcast called Awesome Movie Year. It's me and the film critic Josh Bell. Each season we break down why a different year was an awesome movie year, and each episode's a different movie from that year. So each season we're covering the biggest hit, the biggest flop, a cult classic, a foreign film, a documentary. By the end of the season, you get a real cross-section of what that year was like. And, you know, we've done everything from, like, 2007 to 99 to we just finished 1939. We're all over the map. Ooh. And really kind of pushing ourselves to really... It's my excuse to go back to film school for free is what
That's
I'd say.
That's fun. I like
it. I like it, yeah. It's a good podcast, I think.
I think about 96 a lot, which is the year I graduated high school, but it was the year of, like, Forrest Gump versus The Truman Show. I think
it was. So I think you're thinking of 94 because 96 was English Patient. 94 was Forrest Gump and Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. But yeah, it's all around that time.
By the way, we've covered both of those years already. Have you? So you have to listen now.
Oh, okay. I will after you listen to this one.
Nah, I don't like your guest.
It's funny. You have a lot of asks, but just kidding. I know you'll listen to this one so you can hear yourself talk.
That was the joke, that I don't like your guest, Mary. I said that already. God dang it.
Tell me why you're single again.
because you haven't hooked me up with your one single friend that you know. So.
Have you ever heard my you haven't heard my joke about certified pre-owns?
Okay, go on.
I'm not going to tell it now.
No, you're going to tell your joke on the air?
It's about now I can't think of it.
You don't know your own joke?
So. I do know it. But it was just talking about how people are like, or guys are like certified pre-owned. You know, I say, like, I figure I can get a much better, like a hotter model on a second trip around the block.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a couple of dents, high mileage, some baggage in the trunk.
I do. I used to have a joke like that where I would say dating is different from your 20s to your 30s. And you could say the same thing about a person in your 20s. And say it again in your 30s, and it'll have a different meaning each time, right? Like in your 20s, you'd be like, ugh, single mom, three kids, she's damaged. Ugh, yeah, right? But in your 30s, you'd be like, single mom, three kids, she's damaged. Yeah, you know?
Well, that's not as funny as mine, but I think...
At least I remembered my own joke.
No, but it does... the times I have been on the apps, which I really don't want to go back to them.
They're terrible.
Yeah. I'm like... All these people are somebody else's trash that they, you know, like you meet a guy. I see it all the time. It's like women, you meet somebody and you're like, oh, he's so great and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, his ex threw him out for a reason, you know, or you're just like, no, not all of them.
I mean, that's not app dependent. That's human beings, right? Like everyone's got a past. So.
Sorry.
I'm just trying to give humanity a break here, Mary, and not hold them to an unrealistic standard that they should have never have been in a bad relationship before.
No. I'm not talking about a bad relationship. I'm talking about bad people. And they just repackage. And they But they repackage themselves as good people, and then the next woman gets them, and then they're like, they think it's great for a minute, and then their true self comes out. I see it all the time.
I mean, that's going back to salt and pepper. You need your what a man in there, right there.
The bow-legged one?
I guess. and he's coming this way. No, that's Shoot Backer. Yeah.
You're putting them together. Okay, well, that devolved into not a nice place.
Real psychosis for both of us.
I'm fine.
Keep telling yourself that.
This has been nice.
Yeah. I think now we're friends.
I'm just kidding.
I'll take it.
Yeah, no, thank you. This was very lovely. And it was nice to try everything here at Naked City Pizza in Las
Chris
Vegas.
Paul Mary. Come check him out. Yeah, he's got a bunch of locations. I like this one. This is the one on Paradise.
You know, this is the perfect location for when you fly into Vegas, you stop here, get your pie, and then go to your hotel and eat it. And just stay in your hotel all night. Don't go anywhere. Just kidding.
We had pasta, pizza, and wings. So now I want all your future guests to know where the bar is.
The bar's back.
Well, I mean, yeah, there is a bar there too. But I meant the bar of what you need to be bringing to the table to be on this podcast.
Well, you're my future guest.
That's it. It's just wings with Jason from now on.
It's a continuation of your writing.
Wings with kind of friend.
Wings with enemies.
Are we enemies now? Wait a second. Wait, when is this episode coming out?
Like, soon.
Okay, can we at least plug the show that we're doing together? Since considering how terrible at marketing we are.
What show are we doing?
Eat This Comedy, my show.
It's called Eat This Comedy?
Yeah, okay. On April 21st.
When?
You've been booked for this for like weeks, bro. Do you want to go through your messages again? So,
I just remember I was booked for it and then it changed. So I wasn't taking it. I didn't know you then. I was like, this is just somebody trying to book me on a fake show.
No, I'm sorry.
So that's why I was like, I don't really know you very well.
You can ask around. I don't book fake shows. Eat This Comedy, since I'm a food writer and a comedian, I team up with restaurants. We curate special menus. You buy a ticket, all in. It's my version of dinner and a show. We come in, we do comedy in the dining room after you've eaten amazing food. So
it sounds like a nice show for nice people.
It is.
Who want to have a nice night.
Yeah, so you're off the show now. So we're doing it April 21st at Honey Salt. James Beard nominated chef Kim Cantuella and Elizabeth Blau, James Beard winner. And I think you're the new executive chefs up there now. So we're doing it, and you're booked on that show.
I'm so excited, actually.
It's going to be fun.
I I'm at a loss for words, but I'm excited.
I pay you and I feed you.
I know, and it's so good. Gonna be good. And what's better than like honey and salt?
Charbroil. I don't know. Whatever you want.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it sounds really amazing.
I'm glad that it's just called honey salt and not honey and salt. Oh, it's not. Right?
I'm really screwing this up.
You don't even know you were booked on it, so I can't really.
I didn't
really
know I was booked in it because you sent me the little thing about it.
I know. Maybe you need to work on your marketing.
Maybe you. I can't wait to go on your podcast and give you a hard time.
Anytime you want to come talk about a movie, you let me know.
Thank you. Please go to our Honey Honey Salt on April 21st. It's a Sunday, so you have no excuse.
Eat this comedy.
Get a babysitter and come out because it's like a nice. It's going to be like a nice time.
I think tickets are on sale right now. We haven't really pushed it yet, but we always sell out. We've never not sold out.
Nice.
But go to the Honey Salt website, grab your tickets, and it's going to be dope.
We'll see you next time on Wings with Friends. Bye.